You know, I had somebody say this a few times to me over the last 10 years, that the comment was, you always compare everything back to the Bible. Yeah, doesn't everybody? Yeah, doesn't everybody? And the answer is no. Not everybody does that, but it would save their life. It would protect them. It would protect the men from the evil women. It would protect the women from the evil men. Not everybody has your best, what's the word? Best intentions for you. Not everybody has your best at heart. They have their best at heart. They're trying to steal, kill, and destroy. They might not even know it. That's the weird part. When you start reframing the narrative that people have told you or you believed or about certain people, persons, things, or whatever, I mean, people don't really go deep. And one of the reasons they stay shallow is because if you dig deep, they have to look at themselves in the mirror. They have to admit their motive. They have to look at their motive, and it's like they don't want to look at their motive because their motive is usually selfish. It's always selfish. They don't care about commitments. They don't care about loyalty. They don't care about, I mean, all you have to do is read Proverbs. This is for the men. If it's a man out there, all you have to do is read Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, Proverbs 9. And it will keep you safe from the evil woman. Her flattery, her seductive, her shallowness, her running, what's it say in there? It says something to the fact that her feet don't abide in her own house. You might say, well, how's that applicable today with the media, social media, and phones and emails and everything else? Easy button. It's the easy button. It's the easy button. All you have to do is read Proverbs, and it tells you how to be safe from the evil intentions of people, the flattery, the surface, the giddy surface. Nobody wants to go deep anymore. And and society's doing it to people. To really go deep, you have to sit down and think, and you have to sit down and meditate, and you have to sit down and listen. These little short clips in your mind, like the sitcoms, you know, let's say Jerry Springer, he'll say one fast thing and you think it's funny. They're doing it to make you not be able to think deep. You just think surface and you think it's funny. I'm going to read something. I got to take care of something real quick. I'm going to put it on pause. And I'm going to pull up an AI response, and I'm going to read it to you, and it should shock your mind, and it should wake you up to the people around you, what's really going on around you. Because if they're not in the scripture, if they haven't memorized scripture, and I don't care if they highlight it, I don't care if they highlight it from Genesis to Revelation, if it ain't in their heart, if it ain't real, what good is it, you know? A lot of times you'll have one come into your world, your holographic reality, or whatever you want to call it, your video game, they'll pop in, and she'll have her whole Bible highlighted, but she don't even know what it means, and she don't apply it, and she don't care about it. It's all fake, you know. She don't even know she's evil. Sad part. That's the sad part. Let me put this on pause. I hope it holds. All right, I had to make a pit stop somewhere. See, when you really start talking about this stuff and breaking it down and using the scripture as your litmus test for all relationships and all people and all jobs and all family and everything, they run. They're going to run. And the reason they're going to run is because they don't want truth in the inward man. They want some kind of outside show. Now, what I'm getting ready to read you should wake you up. If you don't wake up, stay in your delusions. I don't care. So I'm going to try to read it while I'm in the middle of my business, you know. It's ridiculous what we're in. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I can't even give you the whole conversation. I think I'll post it in the comments. It's concerning to hear that these traits seem prevalent in many situations. The rise of casual relationships, manipulation, lack of commitment can lead to significant emotional distress and confusion. For many people, here are some ways these dynamics can manifest in your life. The casual dating culture. Many individuals engage in casual relationships without understanding the emotional ramifications. This can create a cycle of hurt as people may become emotionally attached while others remain indifferent. Why? Because they got a hard heart. They're out there sleeping with about 10 people and they destroyed their own heart. Some may, number two, manipulative behavior. Some may exploit their charm to gain attention of affection, leading others into emotional traps. This manipulation can create trust issues and make it difficult to form genuine connections. Lack of accountability, number three, lack of accountability. In a world that often downplays the significance of commitments, many individuals may act without considering the consequences of their actions, affecting not only themselves, but also those around them. Social media influence. The portrayal of relationships in social media can glamorize promiscuity and superficial connections, reinforcing unhealthy behaviors and attitudes. Number five, emotional disconnect. As more people engage in relationships without the intent of commitment, emotional disconnect can become normalized, leading to lack of depth, authenticity and interaction. Disrespect for boundaries. Number six. Disrespect for boundaries. Some individuals may not respect the boundaries of commitment relationships, leading to complications and heartache and everyone involved. Everyone involved. Now, this is a response to the question that I asked AI. I said, can you explain in more detail how the Bible was able to discern that a woman who has left the covenant of her youth, the adulterous woman, are seeking out for your very life. She's seeking out for your very life. Now, I looked at it like she was out to try to kill you, but there's even more. She's actually seeking out life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the vampire. She's not... Let me try to read this. When you hear this, it'll blow your mind. It's a new perspective on Proverbs that I never heard a preacher preach on. And to be honest with you, preachers don't even preach on this. The evil men, the scorners, the evil women, the preachers don't preach on it. Recognizing these patterns is a vital step forward to fostering healthier relationships, creating a more supportive environment. It can also encourage deeper conversations about values, commitment, emotional well-being. If you're seeing these dynamics frequently, how do you think individuals can better protect themselves and cultivate more connections? Oh, this is where I asked the question. It says in Proverbs, the adulteress hunts for precious life. Why is that and how is that discernible? The phrase in Proverbs, the adulterous woman hunting for precious life, suggests that she is actively seeking to capture or manipulate those who have value morally, spiritually, and emotionally. This pursuit is often driven by selfish desires, a disregard for consequences, or a need to control others. Here, a deeper look at what this could mean and how one might discern it. And all the preachers out there, why don't you talk about this kind of stuff? Because you know 90% of your church is women, you're going to lose your tithe. You worry about more money instead of truth. That's why. Seeking fulfillment. This is how it plays out. She's seeking fulfillment. Often this hunting, she's hunting, H-U-N-T. This hunting stems from a personal emptiness. The adulterous person may feel unfulfilled and in turn seek to fill that void by drawing in others with admirable qualities. She admires the qualities in that person and she's going to try to take them down. She can't do it, but she's going to try to, just like Samson, Delilah's going to take him down. This desire may come at the expense of the other person's well-being or moral integrity. Targeting the vulnerable. Let me just give you the highlights first. Power and control. Discernible signs. Testing intentions. Here's how you test. I don't know how much time I'll post it below, but I don't know how much time I got to record this. But number five was testing intentions. People with crafty or manipulative intentions may avoid discussions about commitment, honesty, long-term values, preferring to keep things shallow or self-centered. Testing for genuine intentions often requires asking open, direct questions about beliefs, intentions, to see if there's alignment in values. By remaining grounded in wisdom, as Proverbs encourages, and being mindful of signs that someone might be hunting rather than seeking a true, healthy connection, individuals can better protect themselves from being drawn into harmful, manipulative relationships. Have you noticed these insights could help guide you in your relationships out there, people? You're being deceived. Discernible signs. Here's number four. I'm going backwards now. I'm running out of time. Discern in such situations requires awareness of certain behaviors. Watch out for patterns of flattery that seems excessive or manipulative, sudden shifts in attention or affection, or actions that encourage secrecy or deception. Recognizing these signs often involves a clear sense of one's own values and boundaries, as well as willingness to see beyond the surface level charm. And when you see through the surface level charm, it's probably too late, because they're already across your threshold, sleeping in the same bed with you, and you realize you're sleeping with the devil. The devil wears Prada, right? And so you can go on and on and on, and the saved women can apply it and Google it, or you, and do it for the. They target the vulnerable, or at least they think they're vulnerable. The adulterer may seek out those who are particularly valuable, emotionally generous, naive, or morally grounded, because they are easier to manipulate. The precious life may refer to people with integrity or strong moral compass, whose very qualities make them susceptible to deceptive flattery or persuasion. Because think about it. Your worldview is do what's right. And so you don't think people are evil. And so your worldview is to do what's right. You think everybody's out to do good. And so they think, okay, they think I'm like them. But I'm pure evil. I'm a narcissist. I'm a psychopath. I'm a sociopath. I'm a schemer, a murderer, a liar. I'm just going to use this fake emotional soul tie, fake reality, just to pull them into my web. If you read what Solomon said, I don't know where it was, it might be Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. He says, what he found worse than death was a woman whose heart is snares and nets and bands. It's like a web. I read Proverbs as a child. I see the signs before people even realize it. Power and control. Isn't that the Jezebel spirit? This hunt is also about control. By luring in individuals who are unsuspecting, unaware of her intentions, the adulterous person gains a sense of power, able to draw someone away from their values, their commitments, and their purpose. If you don't have a purpose, they're probably not coming after you. Sorry, you're already under control. Their values, if you don't have values, they don't care about you. Commitments. Why would Wile E. Coyote be seeking Roadrunner? Because it's a challenge to them. They already control the weak. They already control the ignorant. I think I've read them all. All the data points. So I always read that verse. There's depth. There's always more depth to a Bible verse or a passage. And I always read that verse as they hunt for precious life. And so I tried to interpolate the motive behind it. And the reason is they're not happy at home. They're not happy with themselves. They have been deceived by their girlfriends or their family. And the women, the saved women, need to apply it to themselves. So they're trying to, they have no compass, no moral compass. They're just waves in the ocean. It's like they're hanging out on they grab onto a piece of wood out in the ocean and they're just hanging on. If they see somebody who has purpose or who's going to be dependable and faithful and loyal and work hard and always be there for them, they want that, but they don't want to be there for them. In other words, if they see somebody that's always going to be there for them, I can depend on that person. He's always there for me. But she don't think about being there for him. It's non-reciprocal. And the saved women can apply this to their life. It's non-reciprocal. Yeah, you can love somebody with agape love with non-reciprocal love because they don't have love anyway. Because they're not saved. And these people have normalized the Hollywood and society have normalized the abnormal. And so when you have normalized the abnormal, the only way you're going to be protected is go to Proverbs. And the women need to read Proverbs too. It's mainly for the young men, but the women need it to look in the mirror and say, am I doing this? Am I this person that I'm trying to get in their world? Am I stable? Am I trying to hurt them? Is it going to hurt them? Is it shallow? Is it flattery? Is it outward show? I knew when I went online to teach some stuff, I was actually just trying to turn it into business, free energy business and all that. People said, you need to teach. Wow, you need to be a teacher on here. So I said, okay, let me try it. And then ended up 10,000 subscribers, you know. And then when I really started breaking it down to what it really is, YouTube had to censor you, you know. And people thought you were naive because of your accent or the way you talked or whatever. They didn't know I have Proverbs embedded in my soul. And every conversation, every word, every belief system, I compare it with scripture. If somebody walks up into my face, I'm thinking of Bible verses as they're talking. And I know the liars. I know the schemers. I've been fooled by a few Delilahs and Jezebels. But I always get out because I'm always holding them accountable and they always run. You try to restore them, but they don't want to be restored. They want to live in their delusions. Hey, let's have a conversation. Sit down. You marry one of them. Hey, honey, let's sit down for a minute. I want to show you something in Ephesians 4 and Proverbs. I want to read this to you. And you start to read it. And you get down to the part that's very convicting. And she gets up. She runs out the back door screaming and says, you're mean. You're evil. You're hurting me. Oh, because I'm sitting down very calmly, showing you the Bible verses, trying to teach you that your behavior is off the roof. And I said it, and I was doing it with Scripture. It wasn't my opinion. I was just reading the Scripture, letting the Scripture convict, and she had to run. She bolted. Why did she bolt? Because she knew she didn't want to see her evil, deceitful, wicked, hell-bound heart. I've never been a sinner. I've always been a Christian. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Nobody's always, you either get born again later in life, there's a lot of new age people out there think they're saved. They never saw their sin. They never got born again. I can look at them. Are they afraid to make a commitment? Yeah. Are they leaving commitments? Yeah. I already have my answer. I don't even have to go deep in Proverbs. I already have my answer. Are they blaming the other person and never admit wrong? Yeah. I got my answer. That's all I needed to know. I had my answer a long time ago.